Turn to 266 in the grace of glory. 266. My soul today is thirsting for living streams divine, to sweep from highest heaven to this poor heart of mine. I stand upon the promises in Jesus' name I plead. Oh, send the gracious current to satisfy my need. Like a mighty sea, comes the love of Jesus sweeping over me. The waves of glory roll, the shouts I can't control. Comes the love of Jesus sweeping o'er my soul. I see the clouds arising, the mercy clouds of love, that comes to bring refreshing down from the throne above. The earnest of the shower just now to us is due, and now we wait expecting the floods of grace from heaven. Like a mighty sea, comes the love of Jesus sweeping over me. The waves of glory roll, the shouts I can't control. Comes the love of Jesus sweeping o'er my soul. The showers of grace are falling, the tide is rolling in. The flood tide of salvation with power to cleanse from sin. Thirsting through my being, it takes my sin away. It keeps me shouting glory there on the happy day. Like your mighty sea, we see, comes the love of Jesus sweeping over me. The waves of glory roll, the shouts I can't control. Comes the love of Jesus sweeping o'er my soul. It's coming, yes, it's coming, it's coming down this hour. A torrent of salvation in saving, cleansing power. I hear the billows surging, I see the mountain roll. Oh, glory, hallelujah, they're sweeping through my soul. Like a mighty sea, comes the love of Jesus sweeping over me. Waves of glory roll, the shouts I can't control. Comes the love of Jesus sweeping o'er my soul. Sing it again. Like a mighty sea, comes the love of Jesus sweeping over me. The shouts of glory roll, the shouts I can't control. Comes the love of Jesus sweeping o'er my soul. Amen. 9:8. He is able to deliver the end. Yes, he is. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to made, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. By sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Sing it again. For he is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. You're a chosen generation. Amen. The light. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into his marvelous light, into his marvelous light. From the beginning, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into his marvelous light, into his marvelous light. Amen. Wonderful light of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father in heaven, how how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Yes, reigns forever and ever. Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I sing out a song, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands, I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Singing, sing the chorus one more time. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I really didn't know what to name this sermon this morning, so I just decided that maybe the dedication of our mind to God was a good title. What does that mean exactly? You know, our minds get crammed full of a lot of stuff, don't they? All day long, going around the people of the world and our places where we work. I used to work in a place as a dental assistant. I was a dental assistant, and the woman who was at the front desk could not say two words without using terrible curse words, without using vulgarity. It was horrible to listen to her. Praise the Lord. So once we come to know the Lord and what He wants from our lives and what His mind is for us, what He wants us, it's all those things begin to become a very obnoxious that people let their minds swerve into terrible, dirty things. So let's ask the Lord to bless the Word of God this morning to us. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for the way that You work in our lives and for when we cry out to You, dear Lord, and You answer our prayers. Even in the preparation of this sermon, Father, You were there and giving me these words, and I believe You to bless this to our hearts today, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Let's look first in Matthew 22nd, chapter of Matthew, okay? I'm just going to read one verse here. These are the words of Jesus speaking to the people. And kind of amazing because He's quoting from the Old Testament. He's actually quoting from Deuteronomy 6:5, where Moses was getting ready to die. God had told him that he wasn't going into the promised land. And he writes the book of Deuteronomy, Moses does, to enlighten the people and get them ready for the change. And in this verse, 37, is where we're going to read. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. So that's as far as we're going to read right there. But as I said, that's from Deuteronomy 6, 5th verse. And so we're not only just to love Him with our heart, but we're to love Him with our soul and with all of our mind. And we know the mind is up here in our head, very complex. And, you know, when Adam and Eve were tempted in the Garden of Eden, that's when we fell, the human race fell from our position that we had. And even our mind has been contaminated by the sin, the mind. And it's very hard for today for people to even be conscious of the things that they think in their mind. So many people don't know the Lord. And those that know the Lord a lot of times are not letting their minds really be on the Lord. In the original, I looked this up in the Greek, and the word mind here means deep thoughts, imagination, and understanding. That's the meaning of that word. So all of us who have been in, and everybody here has been in trials. Everybody's had trials here. I've had a lot of trials in my life, and I've found that my mind will try to take control. And, of course, the old nature that we have and discouragement that the devil will speak to us, he tries to get us defeated in our mind. You know, God isn't moving. He isn't healing me. I've prayed and prayed. He's not touching me. Why is he allowing these things to happen to me? All those things. Every one of us as humans, we've gone through that, okay? We've gone through that. But God says that he wants us to have our mind so that God will show love the Lord with all of our mind. Our mind yielded to God. Our mind thinking of God. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. We're going to look at some scriptures now, mostly in Paul's gospel, I think. Ephesians, the second chapter, we see Paul talking about the mind. Our mind can be a real enemy because the devil, remember how he spoke to people in the past, speaks a lot of times to their mind. And he doesn't speak out loud. I've never heard the devil speak out loud myself, but except maybe in another person that was demon-possessed. He speaks in our mind to try to defeat us. So we're going to look at this second chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 1. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Among whom we all had our conversation. Now that doesn't mean we just talked. Most of us know what that means. But the Greek word there is actually our manner of life or our conduct. So in the times past, before we came to really walk with God, we had our manner of life and conduct in the things of the world. It says, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So before we knew God, before we come to know Christ, our mind is just captivated by Satan and by the world. And so all of the thoughts of the old way are there in our mind. And we all know here that by following the Lord and yielding our lives to the Lord is going to change our minds. He's going to change our mind. We like that phrase, well, I changed my mind. Well, the Lord says, I changed their mind. And he does. He changes our mind from the old ways that we thought. And even after a Christian, what is it that gets victory over the mind? It isn't really going to psychologists and letting them talk to us or us talk to them. Not really. Though they can help us sometimes. But it's by the Lord changing our mind. And so here he says that we once had the mind of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. And we were just by our nature, by our very nature, we're that way. When we're discouraged, when we are down on and the mouth and trials and tests and hard things, it's natural. That's the way the old nature is. That's the way our old mind is, to be that way. But when we yield to God and when we have been born again, we are redeemed body, soul, and spirit. He owns us. He owns every bit of us. And we learn to then let the Lord govern our mind. And in this place, it means our imagination. Isn't that a thing? Our imagination. Our imagination can imagine all kinds of things that might happen. And it will, might happen this way. We might be defeated. That imagination that we have. And it means our deep thought. Our deep thought. What we think about, you know, when we're around people, a lot of times we have this mask that we put on. We have to be happy at work, you know. We have to, you know, act right in front of the people. But then there's that mask that we have on there. when we're by ourselves, a lot of times the enemy will come in and start talking to us in our mind. And I could ask you a show of hands, but I know that everybody here has had that problem. The devil has worked on me a lot of times that way to make me think, what is the use? We keep trusting in God and things just get worse. But that's this devil trying to take over our mind. Now let's look back in Romans 1. Romans 1 is where Paul is telling us about the old man, the people of the flesh, of the world that are not following God. And the world today, they're just, this is a description of the people of the world today. We're going to read verse 28. He's talking here about, in verse 25, the world has changed the truth of God into a lie, and they've worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Yeah, this week you probably saw it, Santa Claus flying across the world, a map, you know, a real map underneath, not just a map, but the whole place. You can see him crossing over. Yeah. It was all portrayed so that every child could understand that old Santa Claus is going to come. He was traveling all over the world trying to put those presents down that chimney for people. So you can see how that the vile affections and things of this world, the natural, is the emphasis of this world, isn't it? But in this 28th verse, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And that word means a debased and lost mind. So before we came to know the Lord, our mind was lost. It was debased, lower down, wasn't it? When sin entered, it began to control the mind of man. And in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and all of these things. And we see that in the world today. In fact, we don't know what's ahead, do we? Right now, if everything goes and we have a different president, we have a different system reigning in this United States, no telling how bad things are going to be, because there's a majority of people that are very living in sin and wanting their ways recognized as normal and all those things that we know to be true. And we are going to need to have to really have our faith in God and trust in God. They're against us. They're not just, okay, everybody can have their own way. They are standing against us, and they may try to close our churches. That seems to be the case in some places. But this reprobate mind, that's what we had before we come to know the Lord. But we have a redeemed mind now. The Lord has redeemed us, and our mind has been made new. We still have that old nature that wants to rule. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That natural man, whereas our mind was before we were born again, our mind. That's the way the only way we knew before we were born again. But now we have a spiritual mind. We have two natures, don't we? Most of us know this, but there's two natures. That old nature is still there to trouble us. That natural mind, that natural reasoning. Oh, well, you know, it'll work out. Yeah, just go ahead and do that and just go ahead and follow that path. It'll be okay. You know, that natural mind that speaks up, and of course the devil's behind that natural mind, that natural man. But praise the Lord, we have the Spirit of God, which quickens us in the Spirit. And we have a spiritual mind, and Paul talked about that a lot. for us to walk in the Spirit and yield to that spiritual mind and let that be the governing factor of our life. Praise the Lord. Notice it says, for they are foolishness. And I looked up that word. That word means silliness. Did you ever think about that? How silly the things of what the devil tries to defeat us with, they're silly things. They're foolish things. It means absurdity. It's absurd what he tried to bring and get us to do. And it's foolish. Praise the Lord. So the natural or the unsaved, unborn again person, their minds just think of certain things. But when we come to know the Lord, we have a new mind. Praise the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So there really is no excuse to us. We can say, well, the devil made me do it. You know, he's always there trying to defeat us and trying to get us to get our thoughts off of the things of God and on defeat. That's the, well, I think the greatest test that he tries on us is trying to defeat us. You know, well, what's the hope? You're sick, or you're this problem is there, and that problem is there, and you know, and so and so treats me so bad, and all those things, you know, that come to us. But we're not dwelling in this earthly plane, are we? We're supposed to be having our minds on the Lord, our thoughts on the Lord, and dwelling in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, right? From what the word teaches us, we have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. I went through a time in my life when I was really down, nervous and down and everything. They found out I had a goiter and I had thyroid problem, which I didn't know I ever even had. But that was one of the things that after they started me on thyroid medicine, then I began to feel better. I wasn't quite so nervous. I had a different thought of life then, you know. But all of us go through those trials. Every one of us here have gone through trials where we just thought, I can't make it through this. I can't do this. And you know what? You're right. You can't. You can't. We can't. We have to fall on the Lord and ask him to come in for us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, some more things about the mind. You know the Corinthian people, how carnal they were. Paul was correcting them for all kinds of things. This whole book of 1 Corinthians is a correction book on things that they were going through. We're going to read in verse 18 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Isn't that true? For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. See, by their mind, their wisdom of their mind, they know not God because they reason it all out. I just read another article about evolution, how they're talking some new things they think they have. It's the wisdom of man, and it does not honor God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's not according to the mind of the world at all. It's a spiritual thing and revelation to our hearts. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Yes, we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. In Paul's day, that's what he put up with. We put up with a lot of stuff, don't we? The denial of the truth, the denial of the Word of God as being truth, as the denial of Christ, the denial even of people who are religious, who add in things so that it justifies their actions. You know, well, I go to church, But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Praise the Lord. That scripture said, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish. That's the way the world is. We have that in our world. And our children, you know, I receive papers in the mail for me to fill out whether I wanted them to go ahead with the same teaching that was initiated under Obama in the public schools. And, you know, if we get a chance to write and fill those out, it might persuade the system to not teach our children that way. So let's go to Ephesians, the fourth. That's the foolishness of the world. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. Make a study of this sometime, because this was so interesting. I couldn't present it all this morning. The word mind is interpreted in numerous Greek words. I think, I didn't count them all, but I think at least 15 different Greek words. So in different places where you read the word mind, it doesn't mean the same thing. It's just kind of interesting to me. So anyway, these Gentiles walk after the vanity. And you know, that word there, vanity, I don't think is a good word to hardly interpret it into the Greek language, because it actually means morally deprived. So that's what the Gentiles' minds, the world that we live in, their minds are morally deprived. And it's evident. They don't have any morals. Isn't that true? And then notice what he says, and having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness. That means sensuality, wrong thoughts about sexual things, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. This is not what we are. We are Christians. We are believers in Christ. Our mind has been changed. We have a new mind, don't we? And so we are not as these who are morally deprived. Praise the Lord. Who have their understanding darkened. Their understanding speaks of their deep thought. What do they actually think about in times when they're by themselves? I doubt it's God. A lot of people have a lot of bad habits that they think about really bad things when they're by themselves. But praise the Lord that our mind has been redeemed. In Romans 8:5, let's go back there. Romans 8, and we're going to read some more scriptures about the mind of this world, how this all functions. In Romans 8:5, and this is applying to believers here. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, I believe most everybody understands that when we, before we're born again, all we have is the flesh. That's the old nature. That's all we have. After we are born again, then we have a new nature. So there's a battle that goes on in our life between that new nature and that old nature. And so Paul is saying here that they that are after the flesh, that means they live according to the flesh. Can believers do that? Oh, yes. Believers can do that. God hasn't put a big chain around our leg and said, you will not do it. He doesn't do that. He says, this is what my will is. But believers often are living according to their flesh, their fleshly desires, their old nature. They do mind the things of the flesh, but they're after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Notice that it says they mind it. They mind the things of the flesh. They exercise the mind. They have opinion. That's what that word means. They set their affection on the things of the flesh. Verse 6, and for to be carnally minded is death. That word carnal means fleshly. In other words, you mean a believer can be a person who's just always thinking of the fleshly side of things? Yes. There's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, but a lot of believers get saved and they really don't realize what the Lord wants from them. He wants them to walk in the Spirit and let Him rule their life. There's great victory in our midst and in the church as a whole when we realize that the Lord wants us to walk in the Spirit. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And notice in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh, you mean I can't just by turning over a new leaf, which is coming up, you know, the first year people say, well, turn over a new leaf. I promise I will not do that again. And sure enough, I do that again. But the carnal mind, that person who is fleshly, that is in opposition, the mind has enmity, which means opposition and hostility. That mind that is not fully yielding to God will be an enmity against God, hostile toward God, and not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In that natural self, we can't bring ourselves into subjection to God. There's no way. You can say all day, I'm not going to do that again. Tomorrow I'm going to get up, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to say those bad words again. And first thing you know, there it goes. That happens. We're humans. That happens. It's wrong. The Lord wants us to get victory over those things, but it's not through gritting our teeth. It's not through that at all. It's by realizing that we have a spiritual mind which the Lord wants us to let rule us. Let's turn to the book of Philippians. Brother Brad told me one time when I had 10 things to preach on, there were 10 items in my sermon, and he said he began to wonder, is she going to have time to do all that? Because I think I had 15 minutes left and I had 5 things to say or something. So I have to hurry. Y'all will go to sleep or walk out if I'm late. So let's go to chapter 1 of Philippians. And we're going to go down to verse 27. Paul admonishing these beloved Philippian saints. Remember they began back there in the 16th chapter of Acts when he was imprisoned and Silas with him, and the Lord sends an earthquake and the jail breaks all apart and the jailer gets saved and then all of his household. That's how this church got started. Praise the Lord. So verse 27, only let your conversation. Now here we have this word conversation again, and this word means your lifestyle. How you live in this life, how you live in your life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. How is it that we lived that it might become? If you say something is becoming to a person, you mean it looks nice on them. They look good with that garment on or whatever it is you say that about. And that's the way it is with the things of the Lord. When we fully yield to God and let Him do the work in our life, not by the gritting of our teeth, I will not do that again, because that fails, but by letting Him work it out, then it's going to be becoming of a Christian, becoming of what the Lord, others see that in us. They see that victory manifest. And he says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I might hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So here we see striving together with one mind. Sometime take the time to look up the Greeks. It's really interesting. Just see what it means if you have a concordance. And so he wants us to be of one mind. And that, of course, means united. One body, one group. No divisions. Nobody gossiping about the others, causing division and strife. Just oneness. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Striving together with one mind. Now we're going to go down to chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. A lowly mind. Not prideful, not I'm more spiritual than you, or I have victory, why don't you? I can see the faults in your life. Now that isn't what he's talking about here. He's talking about a lowliness of mind. And this word lowliness means humiliation. Humiliation of mind. It means modesty. And I believe it's the Amplified that says, the state or quality of being moderate in the estimation of one's own abilities, accomplishments, or value. In other words, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. That's what Paul says in another place. Don't think, well, I'm an overcomer. Why aren't they? You see, that's judgmental. And then there, it's not lowliness of mind, but he says, let each esteem the other better than himself. Now notice in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, not, looking at somebody who's spiritual and say, when I grow up, I'm going to be like them. That's what a lot of kids do sometimes. They respect a Sunday school teacher or a minister over them, and they'll say, when I grow up, I'm going to be like them. Or maybe my dad or my mother, I'm going to be like them when I get older. But he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So what was the mind that Christ had? I'm going to read that to you in the Amplified. Have the same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. Don't look at somebody else. Look at Jesus. He's the example. How humble, how yielded, how gracious and loving was he. That's what God wants represented in our lives. That's what he wants to be real. And Christ is in here, you know. All of us know that. But all right, how is that Christ life working out toward others? Is the mind of Christ, that humility, is that being seen in other by others through us and causing them to want to yield to God? Not that we be exalted. Christ didn't seek exaltation in this life. But that mind that was in Christ, that lowliness of mind, let this mind be in you, having the same attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And how can we do that? We're not Jesus. How can we do that? By God's grace, by his power working in us. If we have wrong attitudes towards some of the saints, or we have bad feelings, we feel like so-and-so gets too much respect or whatever, you know, the whole flesh is crazy. It brings up different thoughts. The devil's all behind it. It's always bringing up things in our mind. right? That's where it all starts. It's in the mind. Judge your mind, because the mind has just got problems sometimes. All right, we're going to look now in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 11. Paul is talking here about winning the race course. He uses that as an example for us to run and win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we're going to be reading with verse 11 of chapter 3 of Philippians. If by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection of the dead. And I mentioned this to you before. This word resurrection, the only time in the New Testament that it is translated from a Greek word, which means ecstasis, I think is how you pronounce it. It means out resurrection. In other words, Paul was not just striving to be resurrected. All believers are going to be resurrected. This was a special calling that he was wanting to attain to. The time when Christ will come back again for the overcomers, and the dead in Christ that are overcomers will rise, and those that are alive and remain will go to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. So going on to verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that I may captivate or lay hold of that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. This is one of the most important things in our life, is to forget all the trash of the time before. You know, isn't the devil sly? He will wait till we're quiet and till nobody's around, and he'll say, remember what so-and-so did, how hard that was for you. Is there anybody else here that goes through that? The devil's, he's an old devil, and he's going to make us look back on the things. And Paul says to forget the things which are behind and reach forward to the things which are before, because where it's time for us to press on, press on. All right, verse 15. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. We trust the God and God, and we are seeking to be perfect. And that Greek word means to be complete. To be complete. It speaks of growth, mental or moral character, and it speaks of completeness, and it also means a full age. So isn't that what all of us know here? I believe everybody knows here. We start off as babes, and we have to have a lot of baby food. We have to have a lot of care from others that are older in the Lord and everything. But it comes a time when we are adults in Christ. And so he says, this is how you need to, what your mind should be. Be this minded, thus minded, like he was, is what he's saying, like he was. I'm not pressing forward trying to achieve in this life. I am pressing forward to achieve in the life beyond. Paul said, praise the Lord, if by any means I might attain. Have you ever said that to the Lord? Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer. And a lot of times when we said that, we didn't really realize what that meant. I mean, trials, oh yeah, we've had trials, but later, as we grew in Christ and we ran along this race course, the trials got harder and harder and harder. And they're going to continue to get harder. Harder. So Paul says, be like this, be like I am. Get your mind in the right gear, trusting in God, as Apostle Paul did. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, some other things that our mind gets on, that's the otherwise minded. Every one of us here has otherwise minded. That's why we're not in heaven yet. I said this recently. You and I are not ready yet, or we would be translated. We would be taken even in death, because when we get perfect, God's going to take us. But we're not yet ready. And we are otherwise minded a lot of times. But God is our victory. It says that God will reveal that to us. I don't have to sit up here and try to tell you all your faults. I don't even know all your faults. You don't know all my faults either, praise God. But we try to walk in the Spirit and yield our life to the Lord, and he has worked in our life and given us victory over many, many things in our life. But praise the Lord, I'm not your judge. You're not my judge either, thank God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge, and we find in Revelation that he's walking in the midst of the churches right now. He's walking in our midst right now, and he is choosing a bride. He's choosing those who have their minds and their hearts set up on the goal to be ready for the coming of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart, I never expected that we would have a COVID virus like this. This was for the tribulation. What is God doing? Is he out of sync? No, we're not in the tribulation. He's working. He's allowed this to work. And you know what? I believe that it's a signal. I think it's a signal to us that we are about to be translated. It is time. Can you imagine what the tribulation is going to be? When all these pestilences, Matthew 24, the pestilences means diseases, are going to hit at once. Many, many. Killing people by the thousands. We got them by the thousands right now. But this is not comparable to what's going to happen in the world during the tribulation. But let us press on. Let us be like Paul. One mind. One mind. I want to win Christ. I want to be in that company that will kneel before his throne and cast our crowns down. I want to be in that company. That's my desire. And it isn't too late. If you've just come into the Word of God and the truth, that work is going to be a fast work if you fully yield to God. I can remember years ago when I asked the Lord to make me an overcomer, just a teenager. And I thought, but how will I have time? How will I have time for the Lord to do all that in my life? Look how many years that's been. Over 70, many years ago, I asked the Lord to help me be an overcomer. You know what he did? It wasn't a dirty trick. He sent trials. Trials to help me to be an overcomer. So today, make up your mind. That's what I wrote at the end of my story. Make up your mind. Choose where you will go. Who will you give your mind to and your attention to, your dedication to? Who are you going to do that? What are we going to do now? Right, we're going to sing a song if you have. We're a little bit late, but that's okay. I hope that's okay with you. Let's sing a song and... let's just pray, and if you have any needs, if you need prayer of any kind, just feel free to come forth.
Let's stand and turn to 225 of the Grace of Glory. 225.
Be
an overcomer with the Lord, armored for the conflict by His word. Waiting for His orders, yield your hand, going on to win at God's command. Choose now, ready, quick to answer, here am I. Choose now, never ask a question, where or why. Be an overcomer in the field. Wear a shining helmet, sword and shield. Ready, quick to answer, here am I. Never ask a question, where or why. Choose now, ready, quick to answer, here am I. Choose now, never ask a question, where or why. Be an overcomer in the fight, loyal as a witness to the light. Stand against the foe in Canaan's land, faint yet exulting with God's hand. Choose now, ready, quick to answer, here am I. Choose now, never ask a question, where or why. Be an overcomer, choose to share Jesus' deep abasement, though unfair. Yet with Him is glory, tried and true, crowned with honors in the grand review. Choose now, ready, quick to answer, here am I. Choose now, never ask a question, where or why. Sing it again. Choose now, ready, quick to answer, here am I. Choose now, never ask a question, where or why.